Welcome to the Ayahuasca Parents Podcast.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
It's been...
how many months?
4.5.
4 years, you say?
4.5 months.
4.5 years, you say?
You know what I realize is every time we start our podcast, you can hear our chairs creaking.
That's because you're putting your drink on the floor.
I don't know. Well, I didn't want to put it on the desk. People hear the bong.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your limonade. Yeah. Well, hello, friends.
Hi.
It's been a while.
I think everyone's life's been weird, so.
It's been bonkers. It has been the biggest wackadoodle 2020, and it doesn't matter where you're at. It's been the same for everybody.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's been, staying sane.
Sane.
Yeah. And we apologize for not doing a podcast for the last 4 months. It's been a little... interesting.
Well, we've had our kids at home, so they've needed attention. For some reason, we're both self-employed, and for some reason, business took off. So
yeah, we've been crazy busy. Well, and then I decided a few months back that I would not be enrolling the kids into public school,
right?
And that I would be homeschooling. And so on top of, crazy work weeks, I've also been preparing curriculum. And transforming a room that we have in the basement into an actual school.
I think before we get started, we should do what other podcasters call housekeeping.
All right.
We should do some housekeeping.
You mean because we've had some awesome emails from quite a few people. And
yeah.
And I would like to apologize. What happens is that Joel
forwards
them to me and says, we had a great, listener... feedback or email or comment on YouTube. And then, I mean, really it's my fault. I get going in my day and
for some reason I only put the email to the podcast on the computer that's in our office where we podcast from, and we've spent zero time in here. And so why I only have that email on that computer when I have a laptop, I don't know. So I'll fix that because we definitely want to engage with people. We want to answer your questions. We want to,
all emails from this time forward will be forwarded.
Yes.
Automatically.
We've had a bunch of people reach out on Facebook. That's easy for me to see. So I've been talking to people on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook.
Yeah. So it's just me, but I'm more than happy to. If you have questions for Cammie and you want to reach out to me on Facebook, I will get you the answers. I think the cool part is we haven't done a podcast in 4.5 months.
Yeah.
And we're getting a ton of listens.
Well, thanks for listening because
thank you.
It's really cathartic for Joel and I, and it's good. It's good time spent with the two of us too, because we've been so busy. Really, we haven't had a lot of time, just to shoot the shit.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
Yeah.
It's definitely nice. And of course I've been integrating, in reality, we both have been integrating from, ayahuasca, even though I'm the only one that went.
Well, yeah.
It's been crazy. And so we've been in lessons and, of course we're still doing our own personal work, on top of still trying to, be parentals for children and, in these weird times and then,
work.
So yeah,
it's been,
we're just normal human beings, man.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I would love to podcast every day.
Really? Every day? You'd get so sick and tired of me talking and be like, oh my gosh.
No, but I think it's really cool to share experiences and have people reach out and then tell us where they went and how their experience went. And we've gotten a lot of comments about how our advice on integrating is helping.
Yeah.
Which, are you kidding me? I would have loved to even known what the word integrating meant when I first went.
Right. We didn't even know there was such a thing.
No.
Right.
Thought ayahuasca was a magic potion that was going to fix everything.
Yeah. And integrating is so important. In fact, we just watched this, the London Real guy. I don't know his name.
Brian Rose.
Yeah. Brian Rose. And he did, a documentary.
Yeah.
And it's probably been out for a while now. And it made me giggle a little.
Is it called Reconnect?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Reconnect? I believe it's called Reconnect.
He made me giggle. And I actually commend him for being so vulnerable and showing people really a good realistic view of what happens when you get back the first time from ayahuasca, where it's so self-consuming and it's such a huge event. And for some of us, you know, here I'm a mom, right? I had four kids. I went through childbirth four times, you know, before I took ayahuasca. And it was almost more of an incredible experience than having children. And so you get back, it's so self-consuming. All you want to do is talk about it, you know? So wow. I loved this part of his Reconnect documentary where he showed himself talking to some really big names about his ayahuasca experience.
And they're just staring at him like, what in the hell are you talking about?
They're like, shut up. Don't you know it's about me?
Yeah, I mean.
It made me laugh. And then, the other part too. And I actually saw this. I see this every single time I go to, you know, to Peru. But I saw it, you know, this last time, because I think women do it a lot more, I think, than men. I shouldn't say that, but it was interesting how many people were making bullet points of the things that they were going to go back and change. And, you know, like in Peru, like, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do this. And, sure. You know, I'm going to get up at 6 a.m. and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. They don't expect, you know, they don't expect ayahuasca to be such the crazy centripetal force that it is. It is a force to be reckoned with. And it was funny because right before we left, somebody said, well, what are you going to change, Cammy? Like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I just go home and be for a couple of weeks.
That was your last time you went?
Yeah. I'm like, I just go home and be, because I know that the integration process isn't something I get to control, that actually coming home and having a list of all of the things that you think that you need to shift and change because of what you saw, you know, or what you became aware of during your ceremonies, it's not something that you can force. These changes that happen are not something that you can force. And so I've learned to come home and observe.
Yeah.
And really just sort of get right back into my old routines. And that's when I know what needs to be identified.
I'm really good at observing and then identifying it and then going back to observing and then waiting for that pain meter to turn up.
Joel, there's a do part.
I know. I'm so bad at the do part. And I'm not the only one that's bad at the do part.
Yeah. I'm not. I'm good at the do part.
No, you try to do the do part way too quick, if anything. You're trying to guess.
That's my problem.
Yeah, you're trying. You'll get five steps in, and you're like, I'm trying to guess the ending of the do part. No.
Yeah. Listen, if it's your first time going to ayahuasca, I'm gonna tell you something that I think is really important. Something that I have been aware of, but really, it's been watching my daughter integrate that it's really been front and center for me. So, I mean, I guess in hindsight, I saw within me and you. But I really am aware of it now. And that is that you're going to come home from ayahuasca and perceivably everything in life is going to feel like it's falling apart. And
that's the truth.
And it is, but it's also falling together. And it's, you know, you're headed into this, your path, I guess you could say, that you've been on in life, that you've, you know, the road that you're running down. You know, there's nothing wrong with the road that you're on, you know. Right. I mean, most people that want change in their life, that's why they go and they seek out the plant medicines. And it's real change. And the cool thing about them is that when I say they're a centripetal force, they really are. They're going to knock you out of wherever you're at and into the trajectory of life that you're really destined to be. And that can look really messy and really awful, and it can feel really bad, you know. My daughter and I were talking the other day, and I said it's like someone takes you by the ankles, turns you upside down, and then just shakes you.
Yeah.
And it takes some time to figure out what your flow is. It takes some time to figure out how your integration works. It takes some time to be aware of what you need to be aware of and really want to make the changes and do the do part. And, you know, and so I guess my advice is go easy on yourself. Like, when you get back home from ayahuasca, get back into your routine and observe yourself.
Yeah.
It's going to be really clear, really quick, what's no longer serving you and what feels really wonky. You won't be able to, you're not going to miss anything is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You'll know exactly what to focus on. My two cents is then once you're aware of what you need to focus on and aware of what you need to change, it's going to change one way or the other.
Yeah. There's
so get in the flow and figure it out. I call it, you know, put your big girl panties on.
Well, realize that your path goes from A to Z and you can pick which letter you want to travel through. Some of them are easy, some of them are hard. I typically pick the hard ones.
Yeah. Well, the difficult thing is that two of the programs, and they are programs that we've been programmed since birth into believing and, you know, legitimizing, and that is your fear-based programming and your victimization programming. Those are two really big programs.
Yep.
You know, I got to a point the first time I got back from Peru where I felt like kind of my higher self was like, Cammie, you need to grow the fuck up. You know, like time to grow up. Like, stop being so dramatic. You know, you want to change. You're getting change. You can have consistent change. Why is everything so dramatic all the time? You know, and it's my personality. I'm a Leo and I'm, you know, very boisterous individual anyways. And see, so,
and when I got back, it looked like I got dropped off on a different planet.
I know, you poor thing.
Because I'm looking around going, what in the fuck is this? Like, nothing felt familiar. Everything felt crazy.
Yeah, and for most people, I think, like, you weren't struggling with an addiction.
No.
And so here's the difference, really and truly, is that I would say that you were more of like a, quote, normal person. And so it wasn't that you hated your life like I did. I hated my life, and I was addicted and, you know, to alcohol and had all this pain and stuff. And so the plants alleviated a bunch of pain for me up front.
Yeah.
For you, it wasn't that you had things, you know, that you wanted to shift and change, but it wasn't like, you know, you were suicidal and had addictions and things.
No.
So it was actually kind of traumatic.
Yeah. Well, I had no expectations. I didn't read up. I had no idea what to expect. I thought I was going to have a couple mushroom trips.
Yeah, ayahuasca is nothing like mushrooms.
No.
Not even kind of close.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, it's completely different. Okay, real quick before keep going. So
you have a plan. I didn't know you had a plan. You have an outline we have to stay to.
We had an email from a YouTube comment from someone that was asking us where we go for our retreats.
Oh yeah. So the Temple of the Way of Light is what I would highly recommend.
So I think she figured that out, because then she wrote us an email talking about how she's going to the Temple of the Way of Light. And she had a couple of questions. We'll email her too, but I thought maybe these are the type of questions we should answer anyways.
Yeah.
So that anybody else that might have these questions, here are the answers.
Oh yeah. And it looks like she's going, we're not going to say your name because we feel like we should keep that private.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for the email. And I apologize. It's taken me so long to respond. It looks like you did it mid-July. I apologize. So I really do. I think it's great that you're going in November. I do hope that the airports are open. I know that Peru has been hit pretty hard. With the lockdown. And, you know, my heart just goes out to all the Peruvians, you know, all the people of the world, really. You know, I have a special place in my heart for the jungle. So, let's see. But anyways, she asks, what are some ideas for meal plans while on the dieta? Great, great question.
The dieta.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now. So Joel and I, in amongst all this, you know, wackadoodle, you know, bonkers town, decided that we were going to go 100% raw for 30 days.
Yeah.
So low fat, raw vegan. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of time. And
a lot of knife skills.
Yep. And I couldn't believe how many calories you have to eat in, you know, a day to be able to get all the vitamins and nutrients that you need. But to be honest, that would be the best way to prepare for the dieta, is to go low fat, raw vegan. You don't need salt when you eat that way. So just to give you an idea of some of the things that we did, or that, you know, like that we've been eating just a ton of salads, but tons and tons of smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, juices,
salad, smoothies, juices.
Oh, you know what I did when I on the dieta almost every day, I would make myself some oatmeal, you know, no salt or anything like that, just regular organic gluten-free oats. And then I would dice up a half of an apple and then maybe a third of a cup of grapes. And then I found myself, we have a store that does no salt peanut butter, where it, like, it has a machine where it just grinds it. And I did that. So I did oatmeal with apples, grapes, and then peanut butter. That's just really good comfort food anyways. And then
basic guidelines of the dieta are no salt.
Yeah. And she wasn't asking about what the guidelines were. She was
asking our menu.
Yeah. What we were actually eating.
Yeah. Raw, to be honest with you,
raw is the way to go. Instead
of trying to eat bland lentils and bland rice, I just go raw. Yeah.
I would too. I would eat a lot of fruits and veggies. I love spiralized yellow beets.
So when you go raw preparing for the dieta, and you're making your own dressings, like raw salad dressings, like aminos are salty, but that doesn't count for salt, right?
Well, or I don't know if it, I think they don't want you to eat any salt. I've never really eaten salt, even in aminos. I mean, I think you could do like mustard and like miso. I would probably do that.
Oh yeah. It's a good combo.
I mean, we were doing a cashew cream based salad dressing that would be amazing, which is like cashews and then lemon and onion. It's a raw onion, lemon. You can add garlic if you want to.
A lot of these are,
that's no salt.
Pinterest.
Yep. You can also, add dill if you want to add dill.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of recipes now. At some point I need to do a recipe book.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've talked about that, but that's one thing that, I started doing like 7 years ago was hacking basically everything that you could eat with meat and dairy into whole food plant-based.
Yeah.
You know, or raw.
I enjoy it.
I know you do. I mean, if you have a dehydrator, that opens up all kinds of things. You could make a buckwheat groat, granola with, tons of different nuts, seeds and berries, or dried fruits. Let's see. I also, with the dehydrator, I loved making fruit roll-ups. You know, you basically just take fresh fruit, or you can take frozen organic fruit, let it defrost, and then you blend it up in your blender. You spread it on your dehydrator sheets and dehydrate it. That's a great go-to snack.
Yeah.
I always did the dieta about 30 days before.
Yeah, you're an overachiever.
No, it's not about that. It's really about saying thank you to the plants and showing the plants in a physical way that I'm willing to sacrifice, you know, things that I love, foods that I love.
Well, it's cleaning your antenna, right?
Yeah, also your that.
Receiver or whatever.
My receiver.
Hello? Making your body right.
My connection.
So that you can have a good connection.
Yeah. But that's just me. I mean, like, just adhering to the dieta guidelines is good enough. You know, I just, again, for me, it has more to do with my way of saying thank you and showing appreciation. Let's see. Oh, okay. So if you're going to the temple of the way of light, then I would really suggest, if you're a woman, to wear dresses. Just bring lots and lots and lots of sundresses. Now, I did go in February and it was hot and it was humid. And it wasn't like the other place that I went to that was just off of, a tributary of the Amazon River, which was cooler. This was pretty dense and hot. So I would also make sure that you have flip-flops that don't have backs on them so that you can slide your shoes on and off. Just the way that everything's set up, you know, you don't wear your shoes inside the Molokas or into the dining areas. You want to make sure you have just a... Yeah. Flip-flops, no backs. Otherwise, it's a pain. Believe me, because that's what I did this last time.
So, and they probably told her to bring the rain boots, which you definitely need.
You need those. I bought cheap ones off of Amazon. Oh, no, maybe we went to Walmart and grabbed those. They were kind of a pain to travel with to get them there, but we absolutely needed them. And then on the way out, we donated them. Because I didn't want to take them back home with me. And they were really dirty. So, you know, make sure you have a couple bathing suits. Again, men or women, wear really light cotton fabric clothing. Anything that has a knit or is like those polyester blends, they're going to grow mold. If you're going to bring a towel, make sure it's a light towel. Don't bring like a really nice fancy one. That mistake too. It will grow mold. It will be gross. What else?
So she had questions about traveling.
Yeah. And I think
she's going to be just fine.
Yeah. You're going to be just fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Cammie's gone twice without me and a third time with our daughter without me.
That's right.
You've arrived every time. And usually the accommodations are such they're very clear on where to go. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's
The temple was a little bit different. I was a little bit nervous because in the past I've had, you know, like the other place that we went to, the shaman actually picked us up from Iquitos Airport.
Yeah.
And this place, you are staying at I think it was called the Grand Marin, is where we stayed. And we did arrange to have the hotel pick us up from the Iquitos Airport. Although a couple of people in our group said that they had also done that, but the shuttle didn't arrive. And so they just took one of the little tuk-tuks, which we did several times, and they're completely safe and people are very kind and they really just want to make a living. Yeah. So I wouldn't feel unsafe. It's actually quite fun. And, you know, it's like going to a completely different world, really. It looks very different. Everything's so different in Peru.
And to this woman that wrote us this email, if you have any other questions, I swear to you, I will make sure that your email gets to you. The questions get answered quickly.
Yeah.
I feel bad, but.
Yeah. And then she makes some comments about, you know, what we use for, you know, at some point talking about all my homemade cleaning and things,
which, you know, we'll do another podcast on that. But my observation of going to our own cleaning things is we just don't get sick. I think that contributes to it. But
well, I see my house like I see my gut biome, which is if you give it probiotics and you basically bolster the good bacteria in your home, your home becomes a healing place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I use a little bit of apple cider vinegar in all my cleaning solutions. You know, the Windex that we use. Windex, I shouldn't say Windex anymore. Like the window
white
cleaning.
White vinegar, right?
Yeah, but I also love the Norwex. So I don't know if you've heard of Norwex rags, but man, those are awesome. So they're super eco-friendly. The window rag, mirror rag is my favorite rag on the planet. They've got like a fruit and veg rag. I mean, they have like an abrasive
scrubber
rag. I mean, it's great. Yeah. I don't buy any of their cleaners because I just make my own for our floors and, you know, bathrooms and then the mirrors. Yeah. But yeah, at some point we can definitely talk about that. We had somebody else ask about natural remedies. And that might be a really great podcast to do as well, just talking about our lymphatic systems. And, you know, since our lymph doesn't have a pump, you know, and so it moves via gravity and what you do, like, for instance, if you get like a sore throat. So because I understand how lymph moves, which is acid, and I understand, you know, how it's excreted through the body, I can help our bodies detox through methods like peroxide and colloidal silver. You know, we use all different kinds of essential oils and things like that.
Ginger, cayenne.
Mm-hmm. Lemon.
Honey.
Yeah, it always blows people away.
Yeah.
When, you know, like our son, well, with the virus, we're really certain that we had the virus probably in November. And our older son got sick. What was that, in January?
Yeah.
He was in a real bad way. And I had his mucus moving and him detoxing within about 24 hours. He just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He had a huge awakening. He's like, oh my gosh, mom. He goes, they've just been lying to us. I'm like, yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
I'm like, everything that you think you know about sick, about being sick, is really, it's not true. You know, sickness is detox.
Yeah.
When you see the body from that perspective and you understand, you know, and you can actually see it depending on how a person is detoxing, like whether or not their eyes are itchy or their ears are hurting or their throat is sore or they're popping lymph nodes underneath their arms or it's in their chest, you know, or they have gastrointestinal discomfort or they're nauseous or whatever. I can actually tell where the issue is with the detox and how to help support the body so that it can do what it's intended to do, which is to heal us.
It's a crazy thought when you know, because I've witnessed it. It's crazy that we can heal ourselves with just plants, natural things.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good podcast. You know what? We'll have to plan that one out and write like an outline so that we can make sure that we hit some of the really important common things that we just attack and they're gone.
Yeah, I agree.
We haven't been to the doctor, I don't know, 6-7 years.
Yeah, it's been almost 7 years. We have legitimately not been to the doctor. And, you know, kids have had all kinds of, you know, or tried to have ear infections.
Oh, the ear infections get cleared up in like 8 hours sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's just fast. Yeah.
Once you understand how the acids, the lymph or mucus is really, you know, three different words to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Moves in the body and you understand some basic anatomy, you know, then it all starts to make sense. It's like you have this huge awakening, like, oh my gosh, I get it.
And if you're like in the medical field and you're listening to us say this, just try it. Just try it.
I don't care.
Just try it. But just try it. Like, it's mind blowing. Just try it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's really served us well.
Yeah.
And not just.
Keeps your health simple.
Yeah, it really does. Well, and it gives the power back to the body and understanding how the body works. You know, it blows my mind now. People are like, my daughter spiked a fever of 100. We immediately gave her ibuprofen. I'm like, why don't you just walk into your body and cut your immune system off at its knees?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and with there's a lot of talk about viruses and, you know, clearly right now. And what is a virus? You know, at the very beginning of the coronavirus, you know, what did I call it? Pandemic. I did a lot of research because I really wanted to be informed and just really kind of understanding just all the ins and outs of everything. And I can unequivocally say I'm not afraid. And I can say that, you know, I have become aware of some other modalities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that absolutely will help us if we do ever get sick again. I suspect that we will never be sick again. That's what I suspect.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
So, and a lot of that had to do with just going raw and realizing that, you know, when you, it's like Occam's razor, when you feed your body the simplest form of nutrition that your cells, so you basically the biochemical processes that the cells have to do are very minimal. Then when you eat, you get energy. That's how it's supposed to happen. Like when you eat food, you're supposed to have energy.
People would shit if they saw what we were eating.
I know. When you eat food and you immediately get tired, what's happening is that you've eaten food where there are so many biochemical processes that have to happen for your body to break down your food into sugar, which is what the cells eat.
Yeah.
It depletes your energy or pulls the energy from all other places of the body. And so it makes you feel sleepy.
Yeah.
That's how you know if you're eating something that's good for you or something that's not good for you.
I'll tell you, eating raw, it feels so good.
It's bonkers. I had so much energy. I'd usually crash about 7.
Yeah.
And man, we were going on walks at 10 p.m. I was like, Joel, we can go for a walk. Let's go walk the dog.
I mean, it's hard eating raw with kids.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no. I'd like some pasta, please.
Well, our soon-to-be 14-year-old is all about it.
Here and there.
It's our, right, unless there was mushrooms.
Right.
The irony.
I know.
But the 10-year-old, man. Whew,
nope.
She was really.
She's like, not today.
Like every day. No.
No.
Like she was.
Can you put cheese on that?
She kept on saying. No. Vegan cheese. But she kept on saying, like, when you and dad go back to eating our regular way, the way that we like to eat, which is basically whole food, plant-based. So, yeah, which is fine.
She would eat the little, we'd make her side salads and she'd eat the shit out of that. And then she's like, where's my pasta?
It's not like that. But yeah. I think she was really nervous, like looking at us like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to be expected to eat a huge salad? Well, like this
so this
day?
One dish we ate is called ramen, but it's like, you know, raw.
R-A-W.
Men. Yeah. This is like a play on ramen. And she's like, that's
so good though.
That's not ramen.
Yeah.
She's like, so good. Where are the noodles?
She's like, but mom, I like our diet how it was.
Yeah, I bet you did. It was good. It was good. It was, and I felt the crash when because we went on vacation towards the end. I felt the crash. Mm-hmm. You know, you could feel your drop in energy.
Yeah. You actually felt almost like you were on drugs or something. Like you altered your consciousness and all I did was eat bread.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I need bread and pasta.
Yeah. No, that's the hardest thing is the consistency and then the time. I mean, we were talking about this, you know, in the throes of eating raw, that every time we've consistently shifted and made a change where we're taking care of ourselves more, the universe then invests more time in us as well.
Boy, that's the truth.
Yeah. And so, but with the crazy schedule that we have and then just trying to get to the grocery store, and to be honest, we need two refrigerators. That's how much raw fruit, food that we would require. And we haven't purchased another refrigerator. So it was like we were trying to go shopping every 3 days. And then I was working 12 or 14 hours a day and then the kids. And then it was just too much.
Yeah.
And legitimately, you would think, well, how hard would it be to, you know, chop up, you know, fruits and veg? It would take us about an hour.
Yeah.
An hour.
Yeah. No, it would.
And then it would take us an hour to eat.
Yeah. You can't eat. So when you're eating a salad, like, you know, when you go to your parents' house and they're like, bring the salad. You're like, all right, I'll bring the salad. So you put it in the big salad bowl.
Yeah.
We had two of those. Yeah. One was for me. One was for Cammie.
Yeah.
And we had zoodles in there and every leafy green and veg you could think of, followed by this amazing raw dressing. And but see, for some reason, when you're eating pasta, you can like chew, swallow. But when you're when you're eating plants,
high fiber foods,
yeah, a lot of chewing, man.
Yeah. My jaw was legitimately sore for a minute. I know. Well, I mean, I'm glad that we did that for 30 days. Yeah. I think I'd prefer to eat that way at least 75% of the time.
Same here. Yep.
You know, maybe even more. I could totally eat breakfast, you know, and lunch that way. And then dinner, do whole food, plant-based. I really enjoy whole food, plant-based.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and we're headed into the fall here pretty soon, which means soups and stews and
soups.
Yeah. And lentils and all kinds of
savory
things. So,
I'm going to transition here because I had a thought.
Yeah. You have outlines. You have list
coming on the fly, but you know, I was listening to this podcast with, Dorian Yates, right? He's the bodybuilder. He's done ayahuasca a few times. Pretty fucking enlightened, incredible Hulk looking guy. Like he's massive. So he's stuck in Spain and they're on a lockdown, I guess, where they just like can't even leave the house.
Ridiculous.
And he's on a beachfront house and he can't go to the beach. Ugh. It's right there. And, you know, so, cause you and I have figured out ways to keep our energy high, our vibration high, if you will, to keep our moods high, to avoid depression and, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm assuming a lot of people are struggling with this, considering the world feels like it's exploding. I think, you know, it was interesting listening to him because, you know, one thing he does that I started doing back in like May, June, because I was kind of going nuts, is taking lots of cold showers and trying to do the Wim Hof, you know, breathing, just breathe, you know, and I think it'll definitely relieve some depression. The cold shower does something weird to you.
Yeah. You really cannot be in a bad mood after having cold water on your face.
No.
Yeah.
No. You, for some reason, you cheer right up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just say focus on right now. Every time I start thinking more in the future, you know, or, you know, I have some pretty, you know, strong opinions about what's going on right now. And if I click out of observation, I start getting emotional.
Yeah.
You know, then it creates all kinds of anxiety. And so I really have, we've been doing a pretty good job of just thinking about what needs to be done today.
Yeah.
And how the day is going to go today. And that seems to be less overwhelming. And make sure that you have some things in the day that you enjoy doing in a, yeah. in a variety, as much as we can, a variety of things to do, you know, in our homes. Yeah, it's been really difficult. I mean, it has been. And today was one of the first days where I felt really hopeful about the future. You know, I think it's taken me some time to realize that, you know, here for like the last 7 years, we've been breaking down all these programs that don't serve humanity. And I think everybody's really aware of them now.
Seems like humanity's breaking down the fear programming together.
Yeah. And exactly. Collectively.
All, yeah. We're all like yeah. to our governments now.
No.
No.
You're liars. I think we realize that, you know, that the issue is government.
Yeah.
You know, it's. And the systems that they've created or, you know, hijacked or whatever you want to call it. But anyways, my point in this is that I realized that I don't know what I actually expected it to be like to collectively break down these programs and collectively for us to be aware of the things that are no longer, you know, benefiting the greater good of humanity. I mean, I've talked about this before about my litmus test. About anything, and that is that there are two things that that I feel like that are in line with the truth regarding any system yeah. is that does it benefit the greater good of humanity, and does it set out to divide us, or does it set out to pull us together? And and so it's gonna it of course it had to get messy, and it's gonna get more messy,
yeah,
and that's a good thing. You know, we're collectively going through the wound. And we're on our way to the antidote.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had a lot of time, just like everybody else has had, to really think about, you know, what does humanity need? Like I like to go broad and really think about it, you know, and what we need is healing, you know, and the only way that we're going to get out yeah. of where we're at collectively, as all humans, all Earth humans.
Put ayahuasca in the tap water.
Yeah.
No. No.
Is
the government
to,
building?
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. Is to individually heal, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that there's a bunch of technology that if released could alleviate a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And a lot of suffering. You know, and so I just keep on going, you know, when you hear people that have hateful opinions, you know, they're sick and they're yeah. afraid and they need healing. Like you could literally just copy paste that on top of everybody, you know, Uncle Bob, you know, mom or dad, brother, sister, you know, aunt or uncle, you know, best friend that, you know, is losing their shit right now.
Be awesome to invent some glasses where when you look at people, you can see what their issues are.
Mm. Well, I would.
So you can just I'll offer them a hug. Look, it's okay. You're enough.
A lot of fear. There's a lot of collective fear that's shaking out. And
yeah.
And I don't know. I guess I never really thought about what it would look like for us collectively to become aware of and then move this energy.
It's moving.
But we're doing it. And we're doing it really well, you know?
Yeah, so is Berlin.
Oh, my gosh.
It was awesome seeing Berlin and the UK step up.
Israel, Belarus. There was a ton of places.
Other countries
there,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome to see, you know, people really coming together. And regardless of political, you know, ideologies and affiliations and things like that, people finally turn around and going, wait a second. Who is it that's trying? What is it? That is trying to actually pit us against each other.
Yeah. This divide conquer program that I heard about years and years and years ago. And at first when I heard about it, I'm like, come on. Like like, hello. Like, that's exactly what it, like, we're seeing it in the States worse than we've ever seen it. We're attacking ourselves. Well, right now we've put ourselves into like multiple groups, and then we figured out a way for all the groups to hate each other.
Yeah. Well, you know, people talk about an awakening after you have and work with an entheogen, right? And what they mean is that you are awakening to the systems and the problems within the systems that no longer work. And, you know, so when Joel and I got back from Peru the first time in 2014, we were like beating the drum of, and then there's this that's wrong. And then and people were looking at us like we were nuts.
Shit crazy.
Like we've been, you know, worries. We've been talking about the corruption in the media for a long time. We lost friends and family over that one. They were like, I think that the New York Times is still reputable. It's like, there's no media that's reputable. This is why we love, you know, Twitter. And then you connect with people from all over the world, you know, or
to get your news from
from
on the scene.
Or the people that we've been to ayahuasca with that are on every continent. Yeah. It's really nice to have conversations with them too, and find and fact check what we see in the news, you know?
The news. It's just a TV show.
It's a political TV show.
Yeah. I mean, the first realization, I actually knew things were crazy town, has everything to do with the New York Times. It was before the last election, and the New York Times had different front page articles depending on which demographic their paper went out to. Yeah. And they were opposite. I'm like, oh, you assholes. You guys are playing both sides.
Yeah. They're in engineering opinion.
Yeah.
It's creepy when you think about that.
You know, but the thing is I think people's bullshit meter, people are becoming more aware, you know?
Yeah, en masse. Yeah. And it's
at the same time.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I prefer to continue to be grateful. I prefer to go within. When I start having the anxiety creep up, I take that as a flag or an opportunity to say, okay, I got to shut down any of these outside stimuluses like social media. And I really need to just go within, you know? Every time I do that, I feel exponentially better.
Well, you know, and I don't like quoting people because I know some people, that's all they do is quote. But I'm going to quote some guy. So, like, with Dorian Yates, he's talking about how, like, everyone has to realize this is a spiritual war. Because it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the only way to be a warrior in a spiritual war is to keep your vibration high.
Mm-hmm.
So when you feel your energy being depleted, it's time to go within, and it's time to do things that make yourself feel good.
Yeah. Take an Epsom salt bath, you know, listen to some good music.
Go for a walk, breathe, take a cold shower.
Yeah.
You know,
cook some yummy food.
Yeah. It's time to check out of the real world, go into the inner world.
Yeah.
And
absolutely
figure out how to make yourself feel better. This is going to pass. And when it passes, it's going to be even better. The world's going to be better. We're going to work through this shit. We're going to break down this shit. And this isn't, I don't know how it's going to look, but I know it's going to look significantly better.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, it's interesting. I've had one of the most ridiculously interesting years of my entire life. I've never felt so emotionally balanced before in my whole life.
Yeah.
I've never felt so clear and, you know, connected, you know, and again, this is just where I go on a rampage of gratitude for the plant medicines, you know, from where I was at to where I'm at now. I mean, every single time I work with these medicines, every single time they help me improve my life, you know, I'm so grateful. And even though it's been, you know, crazy town out there, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, the inner work still happens regardless of what's going on politically, or face masks, no face masks, virus, no virus, riots, no riots, you know, and I'm grateful for that there's that consistency of the inner work.
Well, and it's, you know, refocusing sometimes on your reality is what you can see, what's around you,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, 100 feet front and back.
Yeah. I know that guy there was a guy on Twitter, and he said that the only thing that matters is 100 feet in front of you and 100 feet behind you.
That's true.
It is. It's 100% true.
Because we're worrying about shit that's not in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in our control. Mm-hmm. And if everyone would stop worrying about the stuff that's not in their control and worry about what's in their control and keeping their spirits high. And
a lot of things would literally disappear by way of that nobody is observing them anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I really do 100% know that my reality is a projection of what is happening within myself.
Yeah. And that's...
People talk, they say that's manifestation. You know, that's really a combination of double slit and equal opposite, Newton's third law of motion.
Yeah.
But...
It's true, though.
Yeah. And I think...
Even all the you know, the get rich self-help guides, mm-hmm. that's the little bit of truth that goes along with it. When you fix what's going on inside, which for a lot of us, a plant medicine helps you see, because sometimes the traumas are hiding in dark places. You know, like for me, I didn't really know the source of my trauma, right? It was a suppressed memory. So for me, the plant medicine started shining light on things for me to look at. And as I started clearing those things out, my reality started getting better.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree. Yeah. If you think about the iceberg analogy and how the majority of the iceberg is under the water, and then you have the tip of the iceberg that's, you know, showing itself. And it's the same as the conscious and unconscious, you know, subconscious minds. You have so many processes happening on a subconscious and unconscious level. Cellular division, you know, your heart beating, you know, you breathing, that type of thing. All these things are happening and you're not consciously aware of them happening or making them happen. The point is that everything, how we express ourselves, you know, outwardly, has everything to do with what's going on with us in a subconscious, unconscious state. And people call that shadow work, you know, because quite literally it's within the shadows, you know? And so that is why I love the plant medicines, is I've not found another modality, you know, that you can dive into those subconscious and unconscious spaces yourself, you know, without having another human accidentally project, you know, like in regular therapy, you know, or in hypnosis, you know, there's that margin of human error that can occur,
or steering.
And I like the plants for that reason, that they can show you things, you know, inside of yourself that you just wouldn't be able to find.
Yeah, the plants. You know, it's when you sign up for this, it's a thing that you're going to be thinking about and working with forever.
Mm-hmm.
Really. It's funny. I mean, so we did first at ayahuasca in 2014. I mean, we talk about it every week. I know. We do. I mean, because it's such a significant and profound thing to happen in your life.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, it's the whole point of it is to heal you and help you see what you need to see to become the best version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, and it's a medicine that doesn't ever wear off, you know, and so it
sure doesn't.
So people say, well, you know, then why do you go back? You know, well, for me, I like to be in the Amazon and to recharge.
Yeah.
And I do like to have that connection. The psychedelic experiences are very spiritual or human. I really feel like they're more human, you know, than that's just my word for spiritual. But I feel very connected and it's good to be kind of re-energized in a way. But I've known people that have gone one time.
Yeah.
And have spent the rest of their lives integrating and never going back. And it's worked for them that way. You know, this is the first time I've come back and wanted to almost immediately go back. Usually when I come back from ayahuasca, I'm like, I'm good. I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, I'm good. You know, and then two and a half years later, you know, I'm headed back. I get the calling again. It's time to go back. This is the first time that I've really wanted to go back right now. I can't wait. And I think a lot of it has to do with the temple of the Way of Light. I think it has a lot to do with the maestras, and their Icaros and how pure they were, and the medicine and how pure it was.
Yeah. Well, it's the Shipibo tribe, and they've, I think, sounds like they've done it the very longest. They have the longest history of it. I know that place in Costa Rica, Sultana, they fly the Shipibos in to do their ceremonies.
Yeah. I mean, so it was...
It's clean. It's, you know, some of the other places, the Icaros are in
Spanish.
Spanish, but it's like laced with
Christianity.
Christianity, which that's not... It's not...
I mean, if that's your thing, that's great.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's not how it started. Mm-mm. So it's kind of nice to have it be so authentic to the way it originally was, yeah. I think.
But. Well, I'll say there was a big difference between the first place and then the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I mentioned this. I was a little butt sore, a little angry about it at first. Then realized that everything happens for a reason, and there was a purpose to, you know, for me to go to this other place.
Yeah.
You know, the other place is very, very dense, I would say, you know, and it was maybe a really great place to do some of the shadow work that I had to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, this was a real indigenous, the temple is a real indigenous hospital. That's how I felt. And I felt like I was being taken care of mind, body, and spirit, you know, physics. And,
well, these
incredible.
These ladies that were there, the maestros.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were working on physical elements as well as energetic. And
oh, yeah. They had us taking all kinds of botanicals, or, you know, some people had, you know, chronic pain or whatnot. They were helping to move lymph. They were helping to, through different types of herbs, all kinds of gastrointestinal issues. In fact, the majority of issues come from, you know, our gut biome.
Yeah.
You know, so they were working on that and soothing some symptoms through like ginger paste, and oh, it was amazing. Oh, yeah. It was just a very, like, I really did feel loved. You just feel like you're being taken care of, and there wasn't a lot of downtime, which at first when I saw the schedules I was like, wow, this is pretty intense. I really appreciated having kind of the schedules, how they were having something to do to not necessarily preoccupy but keep you moving.
Yeah.
Because the medicine is so clean and so clear, it's very powerful. And, man, I just, I can't wait to go back. I hopefully.
You can't wait to go back. I can't wait to go.
hopefully we'll be able to swing it.
We'll go together if we can figure out someone to watch our little homies.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Joel, should we tell people how we accidentally took 15 grams of mushrooms?
Yeah. That was awesome.
So psilocybins are a great way to integrate after a couple of months or a few months from ayahuasca. And for some reason, I'm always hesitant to do it and resistant to do it. And then I always end up doing it, right? I mean, almost every single time. So I had a friend who reached out, and she had a friend who was in a bad way and wanted me. Sometimes I sit with people when they want to do a plant journey on psilocybins. And anyways, so I went to her house, and this was just a couple months after I got back, maybe 2 months.
Right.
And, you know, she takes the medicine, and I'm sitting there, and I literally felt my heart open and connect, you know, to my brain. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I haven't taken anything, and I am very much connected to this frequency, which has happened in the past, but not like this before.
Yeah.
And I got a download. And the download was how to make a tea. And I felt like an idiot after I got the download. Like, why haven't I thought about this before? So here's the recipe, guys. It's 7 grams of chopped up, you know, dry psilocybin cubensis. And then you put it in a pot with 2 cups of water. You bring it to a boil. You boil it for 10 minutes, and then you let it steep for 10 minutes. Then you drain it, and you should have about a cup of liquid.
When you drain it, you can throw the plant matter away.
Yeah, you throw the plant matter away, all the psilocybins. And it was so funny because I came home, and I'd been thinking about this the whole time I was, you know, coming home to talk to Joel. And Joel goes, so I tell him, I said, I got this download. Here's the download for the tea. And he goes, he said the exact same thing that I was thinking was, well, are we going to cook the psilocybins, you know, the actual medicine part, the entheogenic part out of the mushrooms? And I'm like, funny that you would say that, because that was like the first question I asked inside of my head when I got the download, and they, and my, you know, my higher self flashed a picture of the ayahuasca brewing over a hot fire. And I was like, okay, yeah.
Like, I don't eat the sticks.
So. Like, I guess I'm a little stupid. I'm a little slow to the party. Okay. Duh. Is the best way to extract.
That's okay.
Yeah. And so here Joel and I had been talking about it, and, you know, our relationship is constantly evolving. And so Joel and I were thinking that maybe this would, help us kind of work out some things that we were going through. And we decided that we'd each pick out, you know, our mushrooms. So he picks out 8 grams. I picked out 7 grams. Well, so I'm making it, and I'm like, why am I going to make 2 pans? I might as well just combine them. You know, I wasn't thinking that that if I chop up 15 grams of mushrooms and put it in the same pan, we're infusing 4 cups of water with 15 grams of mushrooms. Just because you split it in half doesn't mean that it's 8 grams and seven, you know, seven and a half grams. Anyways, we didn't think about it. Like, for some reason, both of us.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Didn't think about it. And I will tell you that it was the best tea I've ever had. I couldn't believe how good it was, because when you chop it up how we were doing it, which was we'd chop up the plant material, soak it in lemon juice and eat it.
Which is gross. They're slimy.
Nasty.
I was just shooting it. Like, I was just trying to like gulp it. But like, it's when you take it that way.
It's, which way? The tea way?
When you chop it up and you put it in the lemon juice. So we'd always put in the lemon juice. You get that little bit of, you know, that that acid that helps it come on quicker.
Yeah, or so they said.
So they say. I mean, it seems like it does, but
you get really sick. Like, you get waves of nausea.
There's a wave of nausea before you connect. It's actually like connecting is really uncomfortable. And then when you come down, it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And when you take the tea, it was like somebody just slowly moved this dial up to 10, but it was so gradual and awesome.
It's one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Same, without a doubt. It's one of the first times I've ever had a shared experience, you know? So it was just, you know, it was good all the way around. If you can't get to Peru, mushrooms are, you know, definitely something you should consider.
Yeah. I'd highly recommend making the tea.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought that all the magic would stay in the mushroom, you know, but like, yeah, we literally strained it out, threw them away, drank the tea. The tea was good too. It tasted like a mushroom broth.
It was really good.
You know, it was earthy, but like, it was good. It was way better than eating them, for sure.
Better than
eating them, and way better than like shotgunning them.
We were just laughing as we're drinking it. I'm like, oh my goodness, like, why haven't we been doing this? And I feel like that, because then you fact checked me, right? You got up on some websites and people were talking about the tea.
Yeah.
You're like, how do you know if it's 2 cups? I'm like, I don't know. This is just the recipe that was downloaded into my brain.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming because it evaporates when you're, you know, boiling it.
Well, as you found out from taking ayahuasca from the second place, you really don't want a lot of water. So cooking it down is a good thing. The water kind of makes it a little bit, probably adds to the being uncomfortable.
Yeah. The first place I went to, they had a ton. It was like a cup and a quarter that you would drink of ayahuasca, and you would just sit there and just get so nauseous. And, you know, the facilitator there was like, the gringo guy was like, you know, make sure you don't throw it up in the first 20 minutes, you know. And then it was when I went to the temple, and they said that they're very careful with the water content in the ayahuasca, which is why they only give you a shot glass, and it's very thick. And at first I was like, oh God, it's thick, you know? And then when they said, because the more the water content, the more nauseous you're going to become. And I actually got pretty mad, you know, because I was like, wow, like this other place that I went to, you know, they were supposed to know what they were doing. Anyway, it was just a little frustrating. And it really made such a clean and clear channel to the medicine, to ayahuasca, you know, where it's not that you don't have some waves of nausea that's inevitable with ayahuasca. But it was just so much, it was more intentional if you were going to have the waves of nausea. It's because it was something that needed to happen, not because, you know, the person that was making the brew didn't know what they were doing.
Right.
You know? Anyway, so with the mushrooms, it was interesting because I learned a big lesson about making a tea with the psilocybins and how that's just the much, much better way to go, and that you don't want to have, really, when you work with any entheogens, much of anything in your stomach, period.
Right.
You know? Yeah. You know, when you work in those different frequencies, you know, having, you know, having your digestive tract engaged really doesn't work. It's not very cohesive and doesn't work well in those other frequencies.
Well, and I mean, what you've been finding out over the years is your body is a receiver. It's an antenna. And the more
your brain,
work you do on your body, the better the connection.
Oh, right?
So between the fascia and then this.
Yeah.
Sort of weird voodoo chiropractor dude we're seeing right now.
Well, it all comes down to nervous system.
Yeah.
You know, it's all the nervous system. I don't even think we've talked about our this chiropractor. I've been very resistant to chiropractors. You know, bone crunchers is really what I've called them, or quackerpractors. And
that's what your dad called them.
Right? I know,
like, you didn't make that up. No. It's like an old man.
Yeah, quackerpractor. But anyways, my cousin called me and she's like, you know, Cammie, she's like, I know you're resistant to chiropractors, but there's a completely different way of doing chiropractic care. It's the original way, how it was always supposed to be. I was like, wait, hold on, what? And so she began to tell me about how what this chiropractor guy does is he uses a tool called an integrator, which is like a spring-loaded kind of...
flicker.
Yeah, I mean, it's spring-loaded, and it's got like a rubber head on it. And what you do is you lay on your stomach. Well, first they do a bunch of x-rays, and they show you how, you know, your spine from like front and back is misaligned, and side to side how it's misaligned.
Yeah.
And that was like shocking. And it talks about basically how, you know, you've got your brainstem, and you've got this bone called the atlas that is the first bone for your spinal column. Or your vertebrae, and how you have 74 trillion nerves that are coming out of the brain, and the brainstem into the spinal cord. And, you know, then you have, I think most people know this, you have holes that go through your vertebrae. That's where your spinal cord goes. And then you have these areas, other holes, these little foramens where your nerves come out, and then they go to, you know, like your eyes and your lips and your facial muscles, or, you know, your heart, you know, digestive tract, you know, as you move down the vertebrae and the spinal cord, you know, these nerves come out and basically flood the body with the nerves that it needs to have to be able to function and to move. Anyway, so the whole idea is, and the premise is that our vertebrae, which I got to see an image of my own on the x-ray, that when they are not in alignment to each other, then you have places then basically the nerves that are headed out of this the vertebrae are pinched, or the tension's off, that creates all these issues. Mm-hmm. You know, gastrointestinal issues, kidney issues, liver issues, basically any place that has nerves. And it was like something pinged inside of my brain. I was like, ha ha, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was fascinating because he uses intentional small moves to make big changes.
Yeah.
And this is like the philosophy of my life. Small movements make permanent big changes, yeah. Right? This is why, again, I love plant medicines. So within 2 months, because this is brand new that we've been doing this. How long have we been seeing Dr. Michael? Has it been 3 months yet?
I think we're on our third month.
So I guess it was more like 7 weeks. I took a listing appointment and went to this home where this woman had 4 dogs. And I'm horribly allergic to pets. And so I walk in and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to have this meeting with her, then put her in my car, drive to this other location that's like 20 minutes away and another location that's like, you know, 40 minutes away. I don't know if I'm going to be able to breathe or see. Like, I was really concerned that my eyes would swell up and that I'd have a full on reaction. So I'm sitting there in her house and basically no reaction. 30 minutes later, no reaction. We get done with the entire appointment and I'm like, seriously, what the F is happening? Why am I not having an allergic reaction? And then it dawns on me that that was one of the side effects that Dr. Michael said that could potentially happen, that as we start to realign the vertebrae, that chronic issues that I've had, mm-hmm. Specifically allergies, would basically heal themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, later I had another experience where I'm really allergic, really, really allergic to cats, and walked nothing. Into a home and nothing happened. And I'm just like, I'm blown away.
It's an interesting, yeah. And his way of doing it is really interesting because it doesn't feel like he's doing shit other than stealing my money, because he's just flicking you with this integrator. Well, no, I mean, because like you're used to, when you go see your chiropractor, you're used to them folding you up into a pretzel and cracking everything and mm-hmm. putting everything in place. And this is, it works though.
Well, and I think too that it's like working.
He got my hips. I mean, he hasn't touched my hips, but he's touching the areas that, and then it, whatever it does, he shoots frequency in your body or something. I don't know,
he says that the integrator is tuned to the frequency of the nervous system.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, I think, really more or less so that
that's
there's
why I keep you. You're way smarter than me. I just have you explain everything.
I'm seeing this cool dude. Ask my wife about it.
Well, what I was going to say is that what's fascinating is that we did this fascia work. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that just restructuring the fascia really helped to break up any of the crystallization or the scar tissue that we had.
Yeah.
That was surrounding the nerves. It started to help to wake up these pockets and portions of the nerves that had been stagnate and, you know, hadn't been tended to, not to mention it helped to release all this body trauma.
Yeah.
And I feel like now he's like, with the work that Kavik did, which was really lengthening things, you know, and reawakening things, that the work with what Dr. Michael is doing is allowing the light to get to those areas.
Yeah.
And so, like when I went to, and I've been working on my nervous system for years, like when I realized that, you know, my nervous system had been horribly damaged from all the abuse and then the chemical abuse that had happened when I was really young. When I was like, well, I guess an infant. But anyway, I knew that I needed to work on the nervous system.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of inhibited in a way my work with the plant medicines. I have a hard time, or have had a hard time connecting to the plants. It sometimes feels quite fuzzy. This last time with ayahuasca, it was the clearest it's ever been before, but there was still kind of like a static. Then skip to did this work with Dr. Michael and took the psilocybins, and I've never had it be so clear.
Neither. Same here.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
And so grateful, and it felt so comfortable.
It's been the interesting part about, you know, I mean, nothing's by accident, I don't think. So it's been interesting to start with, you know, the mushrooms, then move on to ayahuasca, change our eating habits, change the way we look at our bodies, the way we do medicine, the way we heal. We find these other people. They have alternative ways. They work. It just keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah, apparently this is what chiropractic care was over 100 years ago.
Yeah, they changed it.
Yeah, so it was just, the focus was on the spinal column and the nervous system, and to quite literally allow more light to come in. I mean, it was just brilliant. Like, I'm watching his, you know, informational videos.
Yeah.
I'm listening to what he's saying. I'm just like shaking my head like, where have you been all my life? But I just knew that it was time, you know. So we have our little two doing it as well. You know, basically our entire family is doing it. An extended family, like my cousins and their kids and things.
It's been super cool.
Yeah, it's been really nice. So.
Yeah. What else you want to talk about, lady?
I don't know. You're the one with the outline.
I think I hit my wall with my outline.
Did nothing more to
We answered all that that one lady's questions, right?
Oh, I was going to say, though, someone else, Joel said that somebody else had reached out and asked about where in Utah the website for the fascia restructuring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's called extremebodyworks.com. So Extreme Body and Works is spelled W-O-R-X.com.
Yeah.
And he has, his name's Kavik Merrill. And I mean, he's got some like facts on there that you could research. There was one article that I found. Oh no, no, it was that Tom versus Time with
Tom Brady,
and I believe that's where we actually first learned about fascia restructuring. Right, pliability is what they call it.
Yeah.
Didn't his guy write a book?
Yeah, they call it. Well, they wrote a whole program. They call it the TB12, Tom Brady 12. Blah blah blah. You know, but it's all about it. It's all about it.
I mean, yeah.
It's,
fascia restructuring.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing that, you know, as we learned, when we first met Kavik, we were lucky because it's like, we met the best of the best right off the bat.
Yeah. We were really lucky.
There's other people that are in this clinic, they just kind of burn and turn, you know, people and they're not the same. So, you know, if you're starting to look into this, just make sure you find a place that, I don't know, fill it out. I don't know what else to say, but you know, it's, when you find the right person, it's magic. I mean, it's just,
yeah, he was great. The interesting thing is that since we've seen Dr. Michael, since his focus has been on the spine and, the spinal cord, we haven't had a need to go see Kavik.
Well, no, I mean, and at the same time, we both like almost at the same time, both felt like
our work with Kavik was complete. Yeah.
You know, I had some hip issues from a snowboarding accident that Kavik just couldn't, you know, he kept trying. It wasn't happening. And then Dr. Michaels, whatever he does, took care of it.
Like, whatever he does.
I know. Like, so I wish I understood. I wish I understood more about the thing is I just, like, that's not my thing. I build stuff. You're the body lady.
Yeah.
I build stuff. You want a wall there? I could put a wall there.
Yeah. No, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
He uses it's a chiropractic integration technique.
Yeah.
And he uses a tool. I love
the name, called the integrator.
Yeah. He uses a tool. There's another tool that's like it, but I can't remember what it's
agitator.
Called. Oh, it's an agitator. Yeah. You don't want anybody to use the agitator. You want them to use the integrator. And they do go to school for this. I mean, then they're all over the country. You know, and so I guess if somebody was in a different state and wanted a referral, I bet we could reach out to Dr. Michael and ask him. I bet he has a
website. What's his website? Awakened Chiropractor?
I have no idea. I don't think I've been to the website. Because I do my own research.
Hold, please. Let me see if I can.
But I will tell you, he does this. When he reset my coccyx, he anchored it in my head, and that it made me laugh so hard. But it was interesting to see how the spinal cord, how it works, and how, or I should say, the vertebrae. You know how the vertebrae lines up and how it all works, and how they anchor certain points. In fact, most of the time when he adjusts my spine in the lower part of my spine, then he anchors it in my head. And the first time that he adjusted my atlas, which is again that vertebrae at the very base of the skull, that is really like the gateway for your 74 trillion nerves that come through out of the brain. I mean, it's crazy how I felt like a flush of light. I also dealt with a ridiculous amount of anger for about 3 weeks, like rage. So here I had come back from ayahuasca.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel. Just throw me under the bus. But here I'd come back from ayahuasca and was integrating, and that's an emotion that usually comes up anyways. After you work with plant medicines, is anger, rage, anxiety. And then I start working with Dr. Michael, and I had days. I had a complete week, I think, though, that was really, really bad. where I was just like, why am I so, like, I felt like I was flushing out and releasing probably some anger that had been trapped in my spinal cord. And the work we had done with Kavik, you know, he can't restructure the spinal cord. He can't get to that part of the body. So anyways, it was interesting that that was how I was able to release that. And then I'll never forget, I was sitting in bed and it literally felt like someone had flushed my, like a toilet flush, like flushed my spinal cord. And the next day I woke up and I felt extremely better.
Yeah.
And since then I felt very balanced.
You have been.
I know it's been weird, right?
It's been awesome. Yes.
You're like, Cammy's been really happy, even though there's been like a really weird.
I like happy Cammy.
Really, 2020 has been very strange.
2020 has been strange, but I like happy Cammy, and it's been a lot of happy Cammy lately. It's been nice. this place is called Awaken Health Chiropractic. I'm assuming they have I know they're on Facebook, and I know they're on social media. I'm assuming they have a website. They just don't show it on their app. But
yeah, great people.
Amazing people. And he's not doing anything that's, you know, this is just taking it back 100 years. And there's, according to him, there's just people all over the place to do this. It's just not, it's kind of coming back around finally.
Well, yeah, sometime around the 1900s or 1920s, Rockefellers.
Goddamn, you know? Rockefellers, man. I'm telling you. Like, I could round all these fucking bankers up and put them on the Titanic this time.
Yeah.
Instead of the other people.
Yep. They standardized healthcare across the world and all of these unique healing modalities that had worked for thousands of years. They thought that their systems were better than what has always been.
Sons of bitches.
And look at us. We are now all of us collectively having to wear face diapers outside, you know, because of the Rockefellers' superior medical techniques, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I could talk about that for just an hour or two, but I won't. I won't do it.
No. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
I don't know how long we've been talking. It's been nice to like do a podcast again.
Yeah, it has been.
And again, I appreciate the messages.
Yeah, me too.
I'll make sure I get back to you really quick next time.
Yeah, we'll do better. Work is winding down, and I've pretty much quit my job at this point. I have a little bit more work, I guess, I have to do, but then I've quit my job to be at home with my kiddos and actually educate them. And so I'm excited. It'll be fun. I'm finally prepared. I have a couple.
You killed it on your preparation.
I have a couple more mathematics.
Cammy transformed lessons. A room that we had a piano in and some couches to a full-on legit classroom.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It really has been fun. And the kids are actually going to get an education.
Yeah.
You know, this whole time for like 7 years as I've been researching things, I had no idea I was researching things I had no idea that in the future that I was possibly educating myself to then teach my children the things I had been curious about. But, you know, I've thought a lot about curriculum the last few years. I've been really disgusted with the public school system, the government school system, really, you know, and the lack of education. And there's been a huge difference just between, you know, Jaden's education, which is, you know, he's almost 14, and Kylie's education, she's 20. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big difference. Public schools changed big time since our older two were in school versus our younger two.
That's the truth.
And we've got such brilliant children that are just being bored to death. And then with everything that happened with the virus and having things shut down and watching the ridiculousness that was online homeschool and how, I mean, my kids, both of them were basically being given busy work for kindergartners. I mean, like, it's crap. And I think, anyways, we're going to try it out, get past these the U.S. elections and see if things don't calm down a little bit. But I'm pretty certain that pretty certain they're going to get worse right around November.
Everybody hang in there.
Yeah.
Wherever you're at, stay safe.
Yep.
Take care of your brain.
Remember, united, we're powerful.
Yeah.
You know,
just remember, we're all humans. We all want the same thing. We want our basic needs met, right?
Yeah.
We want
provide for our families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want a safe place to live.
Yeah.
You know, really and truly what we want are basic human needs, you know, and for how I feel though is I would like humanity to be able to finally self-actualize.
Yeah. And remember, you want me to leave off on cheesy? Yeah, sure. I'm like, remember what the Beatles said. All you need is love.
Yep. It's true though.
Yeah.
Yep. And with whatever anybody thinks, even if it's completely opposite of you or seemingly opposite of you, really and truly, they feel the same way that you do. They really do. Deep down inside, they really do. They want the same things for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there are not evil people out there. I know that there are. I have them in my family, you know, and so I guess caveat would be probably those people don't feel the same way, but the majority of people that don't want to hurt other people, you know, that they just want to go to work. They want to have a house. They want to be educated. They want to travel. They want a good education for their children. They want to put food on the table. Like regardless if they're left, right, up, down, you know, whatever they are, they really are just like you, just like me, just like all of us.
We gotta find that love for each other again.
Yeah. I think it's happening. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Stop putting ourselves in groups and just look at each other as humans.
I've never seen so many people in different groups bleed into each other. There's so many different groups or ideologies that are now bleeding into each other, and people are waking up to, you know.
It's almost like the universe is hurting us all into the same team.
Yeah. Hmm. Shaking us to death.
Pretty sure that's what the Mayans said was going to happen when we entered into the age of Aquarius, but
yeah,
I don't want to bore people with astrology, but
it's not boring.
I love astrology.
I know.
I love astrology.
I'm like, that's another thing that we've been doing. We've always done this, but you know, with us being, and we're not in a full quarantine right now. We can leave our houses. We just have to wear masks everywhere we go in town. To go inside of a building, we have to wear a mask. One of the things that we've been doing at nighttime is going outside and looking at the stars.
Yeah, and go look up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't say that enough. If you don't have a practice of going outside and looking at the stars, do it.
It's amazing.
Yep, start it. You know, put a blanket on your lawn. You know, lay down on your stairs, whatever you got.
Lay on your trampoline.
Yeah, lay on your trampoline.
That's what we do.
Like, it's so much fun, and and there's so many, like, star apps and things like that you can familiarize yourself with.
You know, speaking of
constellations and things.
It's like 8:47. It's dark outside, and it was actually a clear day.
Was it? We should go do it then.
So we should go do it.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to do more. We missed doing podcasts, so if you like what we say, keep tuning in.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.